You are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the West Coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the East. Welcome to Hagmann. It is the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today. It's Wednesday, November 22nd, 2017. 54 years ago, that's right, 54 years ago, we saw a coup in America play out right before us. Those of us alive then, able to recall the grotesque images, the feeling of helplessness that was the Kennedy assassination, Dallas, Texas. I, of course, remember I was just a youngster, but I remember. And I would urge everyone to remember today, because I do believe that was one incident, one moment in history that changed forever the trajectory of our republic. Now, how it changed it, well, we can have an entire discussion about that. And, of course, we could spend countless hours talking about the machinations behind the assassination, the mechanics, the people responsible, but certainly, most assuredly, I believe that it was elements of the deep state, the shadow government, of which the deep state is a part, that was responsible for that horrible moment in time. But more on that during our flagship program tonight. We'll be getting into that tonight with some very special guests lined up then. Today on the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, I'm going to be getting into the coup that's taking place. It continues to take place against Donald Trump, against the American people. It's horrific. The foundation, just as it was 54 years ago today, the foundation for what happened then, that foundation was laid long before that. And the foundation for what we're seeing take place today was laid many, many years ago. This is the culmination today of a number of things. Now, an interesting common factor, of course, is the allegation of Russian or even more broadly communist involvement in both events. Just as a footnote to the Kennedy assassination, of course. But let's move to today. The Russian communist, more appropriately, involvement today into what is amounting to a coup. Now, let's draw back the lens for a moment. Because so far, if you followed my program over the last several days, weeks, I've talked a lot about Uranium One. The scandal, it's not a scandal, it's a series of criminal events. The people involved are the very people who are involved in the attempted overthrow of Donald Trump. Now, here is, and I've got to tell you this, there are two important things on a personal note that I'll share with you. Number one, I have spent right now, well over 168 hours of research, investigation, direct contacts, telephone contacts, telephone interviews, email correspondence with people in the know about what had taken place, what was going on from the mid-2000s right through the inauguration. I will say, and of course, this specifically about Uranium One, but Uranium One is one aspect of something much bigger. And we can look back in history, and I'm not going to go too far back in history, or I'm not going to get too deep into the historical aspect, but when we look back in history, during World or subsequent to World War II, and even during World War II, while World War II was going on, FDR had created what is known as a lend-lease program to communist, the Soviet Union. This lend-lease program providing military support. Obviously, they were fighting the Nazis, but it went much further and much deeper than that. That was the overt assistance to Russia, the old Soviet Union, against the Nazis. That was known. That was overt. Everyone knew that. We were on board. We were fighting a common enemy, that being the Nazis. But what most people and what most history books stop, what they don't say, is this lend-lease program, as talked about by Diana West, extended well beyond World War II and included the transfer of materials to make an atomic bomb. You heard me correctly. Think about that. Now, there was the covert spying by the Soviet Union post-World War II, where atomic secrets were given exported from the United States covertly by people, including but not limited to Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, as I write about, and of course for which they were executed for the crimes of espionage, by giving the Soviets atomic secrets. Remember, the United States was the only country post-World War II that had the atomic bomb. Right, wrong, or indifferent, regardless of what you think about it, that's the way it was. Until the Rosenbergs came on the scene. Then they provided, through espionage, they were tried and convicted, they provided the communist Russia, with secrets, the secret plans to create their own atomic bomb. And 4 years later, the Russians had the plans. Now, again, they were executed for espionage, for treason against America. I would contend, and this is so important, when you look, and there's nobody, I don't see anybody doing this, but when you look at the broad scope of events today, this is exactly what is taking place today. Except you have got the overt part of the transfer, not of nuclear secrets, although that did occur, but the material for atomic weaponry being openly transferred to a still communist nation. Regardless of what you think, regardless of what is said, you still have this transfer of material to make atomic weapons to Russia. Now, I know I'm going to get emails saying, well, Snopes says that's wrong because no uranium was transported by Uranium One or its affiliates. That's a flat-out lie. That is nothing but a lie, because, or at least a diversion, because perhaps Uranium One didn't, but because they didn't have the license to do so, but a related logistics company did. You see, that's where we're all being lied to. And uranium did make it out of the United States, and frankly, 20%. And this is where the numbers come in. 20% of America's uranium is under the control of Russia. And of the uranium that was exported out of the United States, and by the way, we are an importer of uranium. Follow this. This is maddening. Why would we export something that we import anyway, but it's done? Or give them mining rights of 20%. To Russia, ultimately, while we import uranium. It's beyond me. It doesn't make any sense, except through the prism, through the lens of personal self-enrichment, and also something much bigger, and that is the adherence to the in facilitation and propagation of the communist doctrine. That's what this is about. It's more than self-enrichment. This is an acquiescence or an embracing the communist ideology for this country. This is about selling out America, America's secrets, America's security, America's assets to a foreign power right under the noses of American people. This is what this is about. In return for a substantial amount of cash. And there is one man, there was one man that was instrumental in exposing this, and that, of course, is William Douglas Campbell. Campbell. And he worked for 6 years as an FBI informant to expose the criminality of what was taking place roughly from the mid-2000s until 2014. I'll be charitable. So from 2008 to 2014, William Douglas Campbell had turned over, worked closely with the FBI. As a result, ultimately, the FBI knew, the Department of Justice knew, and ultimately, the presidency, the man occupying the Oval Office, knew of the Russian collusion, of the selling out of American secrets. America's secrets are, well, not secrets, I'm sorry, America's assets, uranium, to the Russians. They knew. There are some 100,000 documents to prove just this. Obama knew, Holder knew, by extension, Lynch knew, Mueller knew, Comey knew, Rod Rosenstein knew. They all knew. Whether or not all members of the 9-member, 13 agency representate, or 13 agencies that are represented by CFIUS, whether or not they knew and did nothing or didn't know, in either event, it's unconscionable. So you've got to, this is perhaps the most serious breach of national security in modern history, and the hubris cannot be understated with the politics of self-enrichment by William Jefferson Clinton and by Bill Clinton. Remember William Jefferson Clinton, big in the 90s while president, selling our technology to the communist Chinese. That same William Jefferson Clinton. Overlapping Uranium One, you have the email scandal, or the crime of the email of Clinton, of Hillary Clinton, and Huma Abedin, and Anthony Weiner, and Podesta, all using unsecured offsite servers and being careless with classified information, careless to a criminal level, in my view. You've got a number of other criminal activities that overlap all of this. So you've got, think of just interconnecting multiple circles. And at the very center where everything overlaps, at dead center, Bill, Hillary, and the Clinton Foundation. That's what we're talking about. It is that serious. Now, as this program unfolds, I've got about 4 or 5 audio segments I will play for you that tie everything together So you will understand, by the end of this program, you will understand exactly how serious this is, and you will understand the implications moving forward. But these are tomorrow's headlines. Now, running point, and this is important, and this is why I've been so vocal about my support for Sean Hannity, running point on this in the mainstream media is Sean Hannity. And isn't it interesting how we see Sean Hannity running point on this and Shepard Smith from the same network attempting to debunk this? What is wrong with this picture? I'm going to tell you what's wrong with this picture. It shows you, or it should show everyone, that there is a war taking place behind the scenes. Now, there are certain things I cannot say because I have the confidence of individuals within that realm, within that venue, both in the investigative side of things as well as the media side of things. But it is getting to the point right now where continued coverage of this topic, as well as the emails, as well as the Awan criminal cabal that has infiltrated the U.S. House of Representatives for the last dozen years plus, discussion of this, exposure to this can be hazardous to your career and can be hazardous to your health. And we've seen this with the boycotting of Hannity's program by sponsors. That has not let up, but that aside. Then, of course, as if that's not enough, you also have the pedophilia, the pedogate that's involved in this as well. The blackmail and the satanic aspects that operate within the DC power structure. And I find it very interesting. Well, I'll just say this, of course. Those people who have followed my work and in that regard, I find it very interesting where a Rolling Stone piece of late, last week it came out, it just skewered me. And I expected nothing less. Appearing in the Rolling Stone as this kook who's advancing conspiracy theories on behalf of Russia, no less. How dare you? I say to those people who penned that piece and promoted that, how dare you? But there it is. But moving forward, I really want to get to the heart of this. The FBI's informant, of course, on the Uranium One deal has been outed. The non-disclosure agreement formerly muzzling him has been abrogated, which, by the way, was never a legal NDA, although the laws don't matter anymore simply because, why? Well, the laws don't matter, so they can make your life hell. It is now what we're seeing now is the architecture, the infrastructure of the devastating case that is to be made against not just Hillary Rodham Clinton, but the entire Obama regime. It goes directly to the top. This has been exposed by Hannity, by John Solomon of The Hill, and by Sarah Carter of Circa News, and of course Sinclair Broadcasting. 50 to 100,000 documents are now in the possession. Well, have now, which that were in the possession of William Douglas Campbell, as have been looked at. They received a subset of the documents, and I've seen some documents as well. The details illustrate, beyond any shadow of a doubt, an illegal attempt by the Russian by Russia to take over the world uranium market and even the resources below our feet here in America. Now, what does this mean? I've assembled a number of clips, audio segments, 9 seconds. Give me 9 seconds just to ask Greg Jarrett and Sarah Carter. Well, not me asking this, Sean Hannity asking him, how big of a deal is this on a scale of 1 to 10? Listen to their response. I'm not sure if this was yesterday or the day before. All of the audio segments I'll be playing are from this past week. I'm just not sure of the date. I've got numerous clips, but I'm selecting about five maybe. But listen to their response. How important is this? Go ahead and play clip one.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how worried should the Clintons be?
15.
I would definitely say 10 plus.
Now, there you have it. Yeah, are the Clintons worried? Should they be worried? Absolutely. If this is allowed to see the light of day, not only should Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton be worried, but so should Obama and every member of his regime, as well as the infrastructure at the time of the Department of Justice, as well as the FBI. Look, you have an informant who was ultimately paid over $200,000 to consult to work as an operational asset for the FBI. He was solicited by Rosatom, the colleagues of Rosatom, which when I say Rosatom or whichever private company is reflected in this uranium transfer, don't pay attention to the names necessarily, because it all ends up directly in the lap of the Russian government. End of story. It's you are working for and on behalf of the Russian government, despite the name, despite the alleged entity being, somehow detached. They're not. But, and by the way, in addition to all of this as well, you've got this, the dossier that is being talked about. This is all part, because the opposition research is also being used to cover up and to debunk or to assail the facts about this as well. So even when you hear about Fusion GPS and you hear about the Russian collusion, this is all part as well. This is all interconnected to make sure that this specific Uranium One, and you can see it happen on social networking, where these bots, these mindless morons out there, accepting the line, the lies, say, well, this story has been debunked. But see, this is all tied together. And you know what? Enforced, dare I say, enforced in such a way at the higher levels through blackmail. And that's where Pedogate comes in. I hope you can see the connections here. But getting back to Uranium One, it's interesting because the Rosatom colleagues had solicited the FBI informant to help overcome political opposition, if any, to the Uranium One purchase while collecting. Meanwhile, he was collecting, this informant was collecting FBI evidence that the sale was part of a larger effort by Moscow. To make the U.S. more dependent on Russian uranium, contemporaneous emails and memos illustrate in the really tens of thousands of documents assembled and obtained by Mr. Campbell. Now, I have one email in particular. In fact, this was cited in a November 21st, 2017 article by Thomas Lifson of American Thinker. And I've got the email right now, right here. You hear it? Here it is. And this email was dated, let me look here just to be sure. This email was dated June 24th, 2010, regarding, the subject line, of course, is regarding Russian uranium. And This is from the senator is Rod Fisk. Rod Fisk is IFS LLC. I don't want to get too deep into that, but two, William D. Campbell, who goes by the name of Doug. But the email references an attached article. This Rod Fisk says, it's of interest as I believe it highlights the ongoing resolve in Russia to gradually and systematically acquire and control global energy resources. I'm not going to read the entire email, but that one sentence alone should tell you exactly what the intent here is. I believe it highlights the ongoing resolve in Russia to gradually and systematically acquire and control global energy resources. In other words, we are going to control the uranium. We are going to control everything with respect to both energy and weapons. And don't forget that Russia and Rosatom, they helped build the Iranian nuclear reactors. Let's not forget that. And over 25% of the 20%, or I'm sorry, over 25% of the uranium shipped out, exported out of the United States, cannot be accounted for and may, in fact, have ended up in Iran as well as North Korea. Think about that. You have an incoming from the Chiapet in North Korea being part of this uranium export, the exporting of uranium on behalf of Obama and, of course, Hillary Clinton as the Secretary of State. So think about that when the lights go out or when you see a mushroom cloud on the horizon. All for what? For self-enrichment purposes for both Bill and Hillary Clinton. That, my friends, is, in my view, is the very definition of sedition, of espionage, of treason, and worse. So, Greg Jarrett, I agree with you. 15 on a scale of 1 to 10. Sarah, absolutely well over 10. They should be worried. If there is justice, the congressional hearings will prove this massive sellout of America, this unconscionable sellout of America, the Russian plot to control global energy resources was reported by this informant to the FBI a year before the approval of the acquisition by CFIUS. So everyone's sending me notes, emails, and Twitter responses. Well, this was approved by CFIUS, which is the Committee for Foreign Investment. Look, I'll just say you don't have a clue what you're talking about. There's every reason to expect, and the proof would be available to congressional investigators, or even a special counsel or U.S. attorney, that this information was passed up directly up the chain to Eric Holder, the attorney general at the time, and to even Obama through the presidential daily briefings. Obama knew, Holder knew, Rosenstein knew, Comey knew the actions of Bill and Hillary Clinton. This is unconscionable. And yes, despite all this, CFIUS, the group of agency heads that must approve such transactions on which Holder and Hillary sat. That's right. Hillary had a seat on CFIUS. Eric Holder had a seat on CFIUS. Read my article at HomelandSecurityUS.com, if you will. They went ahead and approved this sale that the U.S. knew was part of a Russian plot to control the world uranium and energy markets. I am just, this, you cannot understate any part of this. None of this is hyperbole. This is unconscionable. The Department of Justice officials confirmed that the emails and documents gathered by Mr. Campbell, saying that they were in the possession of the FBI, the Department's National Security Division, and its criminal division at various times over the last 10 years. And they added that the informant's work was valuable enough that the FBI paid him about $200,000, mostly for reimbursements over 6 years, but that money also included a check for more than $51,000 in compensation after the final convictions were secured. But they watched as this whole thing played out. The informant gathered information on Uranium One, and that information was more significant to the counterintelligence aspect of the case that began in 2008 than the eventual prosecutions that began in 2013. Now, John Solomon and Sarah Carter, they should get a Pulitzer Prize for their reporting on this. You know, they were interviewed multiple times and have been interviewed multiple times in the mainstream media, along with the informant's attorney, Victoria Tensing. And under questioning, they let us know that the money trail from Russia, or they followed the money trail from Russia all the way to American political figures via cutouts. And this documentation that they have will expose the self-enrichment at the cost of our national security. Self-enrichment by members, including but not limited to Bill and Hillary Clinton. This is the most egregious, unconscionable, seditious act of espionage since Rosenberg's, in my opinion. And I would ask a favor of all of you. Please understand the magnitude of what we're seeing. Please understand that all of the criminality that we have seen, again, whether it's Uranium One, the emails, the Pedigate, everything we're talking about, it's all interlocking. It must be made public. Please pass this information, this program, to others so they too can pass it to others and everyone can get on the same page and demand that Congress do their job. We want hearings on this. We need to have hearings on this, public hearings, not in-camera hearings, not private hearings, but public hearings on this. The situation, the magnitude of this scandal, this crime that will, I believe, demonstrate foreign money leading to the approval of a sale that harms our national security and aids a hostile power, the very hostile power that the Democrats, that the Clinton supporters, the Bernie supporters, that the Never Trumpers, the very power that said, wait, this power influenced our elections. The real collusion is right here. The memos, by the way, the documentation, they absolutely conflict with the statements made by the Department of Justice officials in recent days that Mr. Campbell's prior work won't shed much light on the U.S. government's controversial decision in 2010 to approve Russia's purchase of Uranium One mining company and its substantial U.S. assets. In other words, what is being said, the documentation, the evidence, the audio, video, paper documentation proves that the Department of Justice right now under Sessions, they're lying. This, regardless of where this is coming from, I have my suspicions, will be buried deep by this cache of somewhere between 50 and 100,000 documents. And attorney Victoria Tensing knows exactly what she's doing and how outside pressure can affect the grinding of the gears of justice. This written by Thomas Lifeson of American Thinker. Now that the FBI's informant on the Uranium One deal has been outed and outed by the media, that's right. In the non-disclosure agreement formerly muzzling him has been abrogated, it will be possible, and I do believe probable, that Americans, all of us, will see the outlines of the devastating case to be made against not just Hillary Clinton, but the entire Obama regime, the entire Department of Justice at that time, Eric Holder at that time, even into the Treasury Department, every member of CFIUS, I believe. This is big. This is huge. And just put this in the context against the backdrop of the Rosenbergs. That's right. I'm not messing around here. Think about it against the backdrop of the Rosenbergs. And if you're of the age where you don't know history or you don't know the look, do the research. Now I'm going to be playing this clip, the next clip. This is by Greg Jarrett. This is about the aiding or government aiding the criminality. Go ahead and play clip two. Listen carefully.
This is our government at the worst, complicit in allowing a foreign government to engage in an illegal scheme that jeopardized national security, and then they covered it up, and they've been lying about it ever since. That is the government that is aiding and abetting criminality.
That was Greg Jarrett recently on the Sean Hannity Show. I don't think I could have said that any more concise, but there it is. We have the government aiding and abetting criminality. It's unconscionable. Oh, let's turn one more time. As Greg Jarrett discusses the flow of money, and in any criminal case, and by the way, Greg Jarrett's a great legal mind. He's prosecuted and handled numerous cases. He's got a lot of experience, but in any case, even myself as an investigator, what do? You follow the money. Well, in this case, what about the money? Let's hear Greg Jarrett talk about that. Go ahead and play clip number three.
The informant's debriefing papers show that an entity close to the Clintons was receiving millions of dollars that went to their charity, and then, of course, later tens of millions of dollars to their foundation and Bill Clinton's wallet.
There it is. So you've got Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State peddling her influence to make certain decisions, ultimately to sell off our natural resources, perhaps one of the most precious resources when it comes to energy and weapons, to a hostile power. And who benefits? When you follow the money, it goes into the Clinton Foundation and ultimately into Bill Clinton's wallet or Hillary's purse. That is what we're dealing with. How unconscionable. And I'm going to tell you something. This, to me, is one of the biggest stories on the planet today. When you combine this with the just put this in context of everything else at the epicenter, this is what Hillary Clinton, I believe, and Bill Clinton are most afraid of getting out. And getting this out, it must. This must get out. I ask again, I plead with you, if you're listening to this program, I beg of you, don't let the research that has gone on, my research, but more importantly, that of Sarah Carter, John Solomon, in the mainstream media, Sean Hannity's efforts, please get this information out. And there will be people that will mock you, not believe you, deride you for this, but this is huge, as we just heard. The documentation is there. Unlike unsubstantiated claims of criminality, there is ample substantiation. We need the sunshine to be put on this brought to light. We need congressional hearings, and more importantly, we need congressional action. We need a special counsel. Absent of that, you put it in front of Congress or do both. But I'll tell you something, these people must pay the price, because at risk is not just you and I. If you have children, you look at your children. When you tuck your child in bed at night, tonight, and as you sit down at the Thanksgiving table tomorrow, you give thanks for what you have, the blessings bestowed upon you by God. But also think about the very blessings given to us by God being jeopardized by the want of the almighty dollar to these people, to the Clintons, and how little they care about you or I. And you've got these entities such as Media Matters for America behind the smear campaigns of Hannity. And then you've got these self-righteous conservatives and so-called self-righteous conservative Christians on the backs of this program, me, myself, and Hannity, wanting to shut us down for speaking about this and other things. Do you understand why I get agitated? Why some days I just want to hang it up? This is huge. There will be a day, by the way, that I will be able to talk about really what's been going on behind the scenes. And when you find out, and one way or another, I guarantee you will find out. And this is meant because we do, Sean Hannity, I'd mentioned this before. I'm going to go slightly off tangent here, off script. But I had mentioned before of a comment made by Sean Hannity about surveillance. And as Sean Hannity has said, and I'll tell you this, where did he get that from? He got this from me, end of story. But there are people who monitor my program, specifically this program, as well as our flagship show, for comments. They transcribe every word. I've said this, how long have I said this? For years. If you've listened to me, I've said this for years, and no one believed me. Sean Hannity, he realized exactly what I was talking about. He has said it, he has seen it, and he has said it as well. But these are the very people who are out to destroy me, out to destroy us. And this is not about me, please, it's not about me. Except, well, I guess in a way it is, at least in my part, because there are people out there that are actively attempting to destroy me, come after me personally, destroy everything I've built and worked for, to destroy my family, to shut down my program. There will be a day, and I guarantee you this, I promise you this, there will come a day when I will be behind this microphone and explain in every gory detail of the who and the what and the how. But until such time, it's good. Things have to move through the legal process. But until such time, I want you to trust me, because these people will be outed for the plants that they are. And when I say these people, I'm not going to say any more. All right. So we are facing one of the most formidable, well, one of the biggest crises that we've ever seen. This is a constitutional crisis. This is a crisis of confidence. This is a selling out of our country by the globalists. And thank God that Hillary Clinton did not win the election of 2016. Thank God. But moving forward, the essence of what we're talking about perhaps cannot be said better than John Solomon, Sarah Carter, and ultimately Victoria Tensing. I've got two more clips, but this next audio segment is a little bit longer. It's a couple of minutes. I'd like you to listen to the content. This is a content-rich audio segment. And the reason I was speaking to my wife, and she said, you know, you try to cut down the audio segments in terms of length. And I agree with that. But in this case, I couldn't do it. I looked at it. I listened to it. I listened to this audio segment. This tells a lot, and it's about 4 minutes long. Stay with this. Stay with me, please. But listen to the content and the context of this statement. Go ahead and play that clip. It would be marked. That one. Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead, Rip. Play that clip.
The FBI informant that now has had his NDA lifted at the center of this case gathered years and years of evidence of Russia's plot to control U.S. nuclear fuel, which included the Uranium One deal. And Sarah Carter reporting that she has received a treasure trove of documents that, in fact, proved tonight the FBI informant has knowledge of Russia's involvement in Uranium One. Also joining us now is the attorney for the FBI informant, Victoria Tunsig, along with John and Sarah. Sarah, let's start with your report. A treasure trove. That is huge.
It is, Sean. I mean, there's over 5,000 documents, which include emails, briefs, other documentation, memorandums that the informant had turned over to the FBI and Justice Department. And within these documents, it's very evident of Russia's intentions to enter the American market, energy market, and their intentions to acquire Uranium One.
John, you go into extensive detail in a very long, hard-hitting piece tonight and revealing piece how the FBI informant, you actually said 6 years. I thought he was only an informant for 4 years, if
That's
I read your piece
important.
Correct, that he has evidence was on the inside directly from Putin's Russia, you know, the push for nuclear fuel deals and used, and all the crimes we've talked about, bribery, kickback, extortion, money laundering, racketeering, all now corroborated and will be corroborated even further. Go into your report.
Yeah, you know, Sarah just said something about the importance of the dominance of the uranium market. This is an email that the FBI's had for 6 years. It shows that Uranium One was part of a Russia strategy to control, not just benefit from the global market, control the global market. That would put the United States at a disadvantage. That's the sort of evidence that this FBI informant has right now. And if you go back, last week we heard several things from the Justice Department. There's no connection to Uranium One. These are emails that say Uranium One that are in the FBI files. They said that there was no connection between the Uranium One case and the criminal case. We now know the criminal case got its first evidence in 2009, a whole year before the Uranium One deal was approved by the Obama administration. There are a lot of things that people have been saying that these documents simply don't agree with.
All right, I got a very high-ranking congressman, and that knows, let's put it that way, actually sent me a note. The knowledge of key administration officials will be the next thing proven by both of you and the links to the Clinton Foundation. Sarah, is that true?
I believe that is true. I mean, especially when we're looking at...
You believe or you know? Because I can't ask Victoria that question because she won't tell me.
I know it's true. I know that looking at these documents, following the money, Sean, following the money is what's important here. Now, the Justice Department has not put it out that they will possibly call a special counsel to this. This is still out there. They are looking into it. That's something that they need to decide. But whether it's a special counsel or whether it's a prosecutor that's investigating this, they will be able to follow the money. There are some things
when you
that
say
John
follow
and
the
I,
money, my suspicion would go to the money came directly from Russia, was funneled through the Canadian donors to the Clinton Foundation. How good are my instincts?
You have pretty good instincts, and I think there's a lot of other areas that they're going to be looking at as well. Remember, this is like peeling back an onion. You peel one part, and then you find another part, and that's what's going to require somebody to do an extensive investigation.
But it's beginning to cascade, Sarah. It's now beginning.
It is. It is.
And John, I want you to respond to the same thing, that the Clinton Foundation, that this will be traced back to high-ranking Obama administration officials and the Clinton Foundation, and if you add the money portion Sarah mentioned...
I do. I think the place we're going to be talking about in the next couple of weeks is called the Clinton Global Initiative, sort of a side project of the Clinton Foundation. There are new flows of money there that we're going to be able to report on in the next couple of weeks. And also, there were some personal business projects of very senior Clinton people that got a remarkable infusion of cash from Russia. And we're going to be able to talk about that in the next couple of weeks. It's going to put another layer of interest to this story.
All right, we have a lot of time in this segment, so I want to go very slowly here. Both of you, before I get to Victoria, Sarah and John, you both in your pieces today said 5,000 documents. I hear the number of the FBI informant is much, much greater, tens of thousands. True or false?
Yeah, that seems to be accurate. We have a subset of the documents, and they're very voluminous.
All right, that that went that covered a lot of ground. I think you can understand from that, and I don't want to. Obviously, I don't want to. I want that to stand alone. The information provided there to stand alone. One final audio segment. This has to do with CFIUS. And this is initially Victoria Tenzing. I think it's critical to understand this as well, because this is another aspect that really wasn't touched by that former or wasn't discussed by the former audio clip in its entirety. So go ahead and play the final segment. It should be marked VT for Victoria Tenzing. Go ahead and play that now.
The whole essence of what John and Sarah and I are talking about is that in 2009, 2010, our FBI and presumably our Justice Department and the White House, as my client was told, all knew about this corruption in the Russian nuclear energy area. And there's no separate companies. They're all related. The Russian nuclear energy is controlled from the top, from Putin. They're all one. They all talk to each other. So the evidence about this corruption was known to our government in 2009, 2010. And why is it that CFIUS either wasn't told or CFIUS people
explain
knowing
CFIUS,
about it?
Explain CFIUS. 9 agencies approving the deal that gave control of Uranium One to the bad actor, hostile regime, Putin, Russia.
They said, the CFIUS board said, that the bad Russians could buy Uranium One, which contained access to 20% of the U.S. uranium. Why was that decision made? Was CFIUS told? Did Bob Mueller go to Eric Holder and tell him? Eric Holder sat on the CFIUS board.
He was one of the nine.
Did Bob Mueller go to the White House and tell him? The FBI agents told my client that they were briefing the president about his conduct. So, of course, when the CFIUS decision was made, Sean,
Counselor,
if I may,
you're too good at your job.
No.
And this is a very serious point. Putting your legal hat on, objectively speaking, yes, they knew. The evidence will prove it based on the documents and your client. Crimes committed on a high level?
Well,
national security compromised?
I think it goes without saying, giving the Russians control of that uranium was a national security compromise. I think what we're going to have to do is continue to follow the money, because the reporting that John and Sarah are going to be doing in a few days will be revealing about where lots of the various money went and where it came from.
Always we go back, and I believe at the end of this, you guys deserve a Pulitzer. And I'm not the only one thinking that. You guys have dug so deep in this. This has been a deep dive. I applaud you both. And I want to ask, as it relates to who knew what when, what did they know? When did they know it? John Solomon. And I'm talking about Obama, Mueller, Eric Holder, Hillary Clinton.
Because we don't have those records, and those are the records that Congress needs to go get. But I can tell you, I have a person quoted in my story that has direct knowledge of what the Justice Department knew. And this person said, without a shred of doubt, we knew in 2009, a year before CFIUS ruled, that Rosatom was engaged in criminality. Without a shadow of a doubt, we knew that Russia was trying to gain a corner on the U.S. market, get a strong hold on our uranium. And without a doubt, we knew they were using political levers to try to get their way here. We're talking about control. Like this document says, they're trying to gain control of our market. That has to be a national security interest that should have been raised to CFIUS.
Presidential daily briefings, we're told, Sarah.
That's right.
Now, that was a montage, essentially. I had to edit that together. Bottom line, the government knew, Holder knew, Comey knew, Obama and the people around him knew. And if they knew that, think about this. Not only did they know about the self-enrichment with respect to the Clintons and how Hillary manipulated or used political leverage to force this deal through, or circumvent or compromise CFIUS as well, but they, suffice it to say this, they're all dirty. The swamp is that deep. And the reason I was audio segment heavy today is to show you how much there is to this and how deep the swamp is and how perverted our justice system is. And I'm going to throw a kind of a curveball. Remember when Lugar, back when Obama was a junior senator for Illinois, Lugar was part of this nuclear disarmament oversight and selected Obama to go with him to Russia. And remember when they were stopped in Perm and Obama and Lugar were kept on the tarmac for 3 hours? And there was an issue over Obama's passport. Why do I bring this up in against the backdrop of what I'm talking about right now? First of all, why would Lugar pick Obama, the junior senator from Illinois, to fulfill that position? That's question one. And question two, what was discussed there at that tarmac meeting or at that airport meeting in Perm? I just, again, for your homework, perhaps, for your consideration. Let your imagination run wild, but also your speculation, reasoned and informed speculation, come into play. Very interesting indeed. So what I'm telling you, as I close this program out on the day before Thanksgiving, understand how serious this is. The fact that Russia, the plot to control our global energy resources, was reported, but nothing was done. Not by the FBI, not by the Department of Justice, certainly not by the executive branch. Nothing was done. Contemplate the magnitude of this criminality that could demonstrate and will demonstrate foreign money leading to the approval of a sale that harms national security and aids a hostile power. Again, about whose danger the progressive Democrats have been hyperventilating for the past year. But only, this will only work out if the Sessions Justice Department and Congress is willing to press the case, or if Sessions is willing to or forced to approve a special counsel. That's where we come in. We must pick up the ball and run with it. Force this to happen. We can't afford to sit on the sidelines and allow these people, and when I say these people, I'm talking about everyone from Obama down to Clinton, down to Huma, down to Jarrett, down to everyone involved, Comey, everyone must be held accountable. Because much like the transfer of atomic secrets in the 40s by the Rosenbergs, remember that emboldened the then Soviet Union to take action on the Korean Peninsula. One could argue that the actions of the Rosenbergs emboldened the Soviets at the time to create the havoc that was known as the Korean police action or Korean War, whatever you want to call it. But that led to that particular event, an event that has come back to bite us in the butt even today as we deal with the Chia Pet, the leader, the rocket man of North Korea. You see how everything is tied together? And the, what would you call that? The consequences, I suppose, of actions left unchecked or checked too late have put this generation and our children in peril today. This is what we're talking about. This is the magnitude. Folks, please share this program on social networking, and thank you so much for listening. I'm going to be back tomorrow, Thanksgiving Day, with more, and every day throughout the week. May God bless you. Thanks for listening. Share this. Follow me on Twitter, @HagmanPI, and also flagship program, Hagman Report. Follow us. God bless.
The Doug Hagman Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagman Report.
Tune in to the Hagmann Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmannReport.com. That's HagmannReport.com.